Hello and welcome to KKRN Community Radio's The Eclectic Hour. I'm your host, Craig Boyer. The Eclectic Hour is a show that is sometimes an eclectic mix of music only, and it's sometimes interviews with music woven in that relates to the subject and to the person being interviewed. We have an interview today, along with a related mix of music. Today's show is entitled One Future at a Time. It will revolve around a fun community event that is a local fundraiser that it's in its fourth year, and it was founded by our guest, Marilyn Troggett, and she's in our studio. Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you, Craig. It's nice to be here.
Great to have you. I'd like to begin by having you give our listeners what One Future at a Time is and the event that is an annual fun fundraiser for your nonprofit.
Okay, thank you for giving me this opportunity. One Future at a Time is a California-registered nonprofit organization that I founded back in 2011. And what I do actually is work in Africa, specifically in Uganda, South Africa, and Rwanda. And we give people access to healthcare that would not be available or affordable. We give people access to education from grade school all the way up through university. That is on an application basis on the higher levels, but there's a lot of kids that are not able to afford the fees to go to primary school or high school, and I can speak more about that if we have time. And also economic opportunity, which is very scarce there, so it might be giving somebody guidance on how to start a business or making connections for them so that they can be better able to start the business that they're hoping to start. So it's just really fascinating. Some of the other detailed stuff that we do in terms of education, we have a project in Uganda that is about keeping girls in school because there's a lot of issues about child brides and menstrual hygiene issues that are not addressed and that keep girls out of school. So I have a partner organization in Rwanda and two partner organizations in Uganda that I work with. And there's a lot of collaboration to identify children and youth and young adults who are needing this type of help and working together to see that they have a way to lift themselves out. I mean, it's not just a handout thing. It's a hand-up kind of a philosophy where we want people to have the opportunity to create their own future. And to do that, you have to have the skills or the knowledge, and you also have to have the health to be able to function, and that includes eyesight. We've done a lot of stuff with vision care and dental care. You can relate to how bad a toothache can be to keep you from doing what you want to do, whether it's studying or working. And so we're just doing all kinds of projects. It's hard even to plan ahead. What happens is I show up and then the needs present themselves to me. And my partners and I work to see if we can meet those needs.
Now, how many people are involved with you? You talk about these organizations, and I was going to ask you about that, and that's mm-hmm. great. So you're not all by yourself. You have how many time?
I sort of am all by myself. I started out working in South Africa back in 2007 when I left my career with Mercy Hospice.
Now, I was going to ask you about that. I'm going to interrupt you about that because I know that you did. You worked there. And how long were you there at Mercy Hospice?
29 years. I was one of the people who was with the origination of the program back in 1978.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful three decades. And then I got involved with the Foundation for Hospices in Sub-Saharan Africa. And they have a matching program. Now it's called Global Partners in Care because it's beyond Sub-Saharan Africa. But they would have a matching program for a U.S. hospice and an African hospice. And because I like to travel, I put our program into the mix. And they matched us up with one in the inner city of Johannesburg, South Africa. And that's how it started.
So that's how you wound up working in Africa.
Yes. Yeah. You can't be a partner until you visit your partner, right? Okay, so
right.
That's my thoughts about it. Uh-huh. So I organized a trip with two of my fellow nurses who are my good friends, Eileen Bobich and Sandra Neiman, and we went there in 2005 and established a connection with a partner hospice. And I just, for longer than you have time to have me on the radio, let's just say I got hooked. Mm-hmm. There's something about Africa that hooks your heart, and you can talk to anyone else who's been there, they'll say the same thing. But I took it a step further, and in 2007, I took a very early retirement in order to live in South Africa half the time, 3 months on, 3 months off, to do consulting in palliative care and management and other things. And it just evolved from that. I'm doing nothing with palliative care in the last number of years. It's just evolved differently. So eventually I decided it'd be best to form a nonprofit and just make the work more official. So doing it by myself, yeah, I pretty much do by myself. But my partners, each organization has a few people in it that are a team, and I'm part of the team. So actually I'm on the board of directors of both my partner Uganda organizations.
So what are they called?
One is called A Bright Child Uganda, and one is called Education Forum Africa. And the my partners in Rwanda are called Humura, which is the Kinyarwanda word meaning do not despair.
Very positive.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Well, now we have something that's going to be happening. It's that fundraiser and all of that. So what do you want to tell us about that?
Oh, yeah. And you know how you have this dream is if you had the talent and you didn't need a day job, you'd be a musician. Okay, that's me, kind of like you. So I've always liked playing music and singing, although never in the caliber of having the opportunity to quit my day job to do that. So I play with friends and stuff. So some friends and I got together. First one was in 2017, and we decided as a fundraiser, instead of doing a concert, to do a sing-along. And it's... this is our fourth year. We have songs that are pretty well known to most people who like music from the 60s and somewhat before and somewhat after. And it's more of you are the concert when you come. You don't get to sit there and watch and listen to us. You get to be the singers along with our band. So,
And the One Future at a Time band, yeah. Would you tell us the names of the people in the band?
Yeah, of course. So we have Bruce Webb, who is he used to be from Reading. He's living in Oregon now, and we rehearse on speakerphone when he's not in Reading, but he comes down as well. And Bruce, we all sing. Okay, so Bruce plays the guitar. He's a wonderful lead guitarist. He plays baritone guitar. He plays mandolin. He plays other instruments, but in this case, this is what he's playing. We have Terry Craig, who is a retired music teacher, and she also plays a ton of instruments, but for this, she's going to be playing guitar, and I believe she's going to bring her auto harp, and she also is an excellent flute player. And we have Dave Joss, who plays harmonica, and we have Rob Payton, who plays guitar, and his wife Marilyn Payton, who is a classically trained singer, so her vocals are just outstanding. And then there's me, and I play guitar, I play Irish whistles, and I play banjo, in a manner of speaking.
I didn't realize you played banjo. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's kind of a story. Before I moved to Reading back in the 70s, I lived in Tucson, and my office was in a lab. I didn't work for the lab, but it was the only place they had space for me at the university. So the guy who ran the lab was in a bluegrass band. And I said, I want to learn how to play the banjo. I just thought it was the coolest sounding thing.
I like it a lot myself.
Yeah, and shortly after that, I moved to Reading, bought a banjo at then Bernie's Guitar, and took lessons for several years. And in finger-picking style. And I got halfway decent, but then I got pregnant, and my baby ended up being a 9-pound-plus baby, so that I could no longer hold the banjo in front of me when he got to be about 8 months or so. And I thought that would be torturing this poor kid to have a banjo right in front of his forming little body. So then when he was born, he never slept. And the last thing you want to do with a baby who never sleeps when they fall asleep is to play the banjo. So I quit it for a long, 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 long time. I mean, decades I hadn't played the banjo, but I kept it thinking I always want to get back to it. So last year, one of the songs we played was Wagon Wheel, and it's pretty simple to play with chords. Everybody's familiar with that. I know you are. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, on the banjo, the chords are even easier to play than guitars. They are. They like a G chord is no hands. It's an open tuning G. So I thought, if I can get the banjo up to speed enough to play Wagon Wheel, I'm going to play it for that one song.
Perfect.
And I gave myself, yeah, I gave myself 2 weeks to get up to speed, and I let my bandmates tell me, yay or nay, can I do this, or should I just switch back to the guitar? And I managed to pull it off. So
good.
But then I haven't played it since last year's concert, so I got the banjo out of dry dock again. I'm practicing, so we'll see what happens. If you see me with the banjo at that thing, you'll on the 14th, you'll know I've been practicing hard. If I'm not playing the banjo, banjo, you'll know I'm not going to embarrass myself on it. So.
You'll do it.
I probably will.
So that's March 14th, Saturday, yeah. March 14th at 7:30. Is that correct?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Yeah. 7 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah, it'll probably go till about 9:30.
And you can get tickets at the Music Connection?
Yeah, or at the door.
Or at the door. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a wonderful event. Yeah.
And you get to keep the songbook. So everybody gets a songbook when you come. So you can't say...
Does the songbook have chords in it?
Yes, it does.
There you go.
Yes,
that's
it does.
Fantastic.
So if you're a musician and you want to know the chords of the songs, it's there. And you get to keep them. So I think a lot of people do appreciate that.
I've got about four of them now.
Well, you've only done three. You're going to get your fourth one.
Well, third, three of them then, because I've been to every one of
them. Yeah, you have, with much appreciation.
Okay. Well, very good. I think we should start out with a song that you said was the People's Choice.
Yeah, so this is how the People's Choice happened. This is how our song selection happened. I made a list of all the songs that we've played in the last three concerts. And I had the band members vote for their top 20. And so the only one song got four votes out of five. And then another dozen song got three votes out of five. And the rest of it was open. And so we wanted to put some Irish songs in for St. Patrick's Day. So that left songs that got two votes from our band. And I left one slot open for a People's Choice. So I put it out on Facebook and said, these are the songs, and what the choices were the ones left on our two votes from the band list. Mm-hmm. And so the winner of that one, People's Choice, leading by two votes, was If I Had a Hammer.
Okay.
Coming in second place, which unfortunately we didn't have room to play, and I know it's one of your favorites, mm-hmm. is Get Together mm-hmm. by the Youngbloods. So we... That was a close second.
That's how it happened.
So maybe next year we'll do that one.
Okay. Well, we're going to start out playing If I Had a Hammer, and it was written by Pete Seeger, but the one I've chosen was performed by Margie Butler and her husband, and Paul Butler. They're a couple that performed here in Reading a few years ago. Actually, it's quite a few years ago now, and I got their CD. So this is their version of If I Had a Hammer. And folks are going to get to sing along with this and all these songs that we're going to play today. So it's a lot of fun.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening all over this land. I'd hammer out danger. Sisters all over this land. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning. I'd ring it in the evening all over this land. I'd ring out danger. I'd ring out a warning. I'd ring out love between my brothers and my sisters.
Okay, If I Had a Hammer will be the beginning, and that is certainly about justice and being heard. now we're going to go on to Teach Your Children. That's another song they're going to be doing.
And that was the first place song amongst our bandmates. Most of us voted to have that one in. And so it got the highest number of votes. It was the first one on the playlist.
Okay.
Not the first one we're going to do, but the first one to be included on the playlist, I should say.
And, of course, it's done by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Not Young.
Not Young?
Before Neil
oh,
Young came.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Neil Young wasn't involved yet.
Okay, just Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yep.
All right, here we go.
Are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh. Your elders grew by, and so please help them with your youth. They see the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well, their children's hell will slowly go by. Them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry, so just look at them and sigh.
Teach your children well. And so I think that generational situation is we want to make a difference in our generation. Each generation tends to want to do that. And what I see is that you've tried to make a difference now in the lives of other people. And what are the results that you can share with us?
Oh gosh, they're amazing, actually. With my Rwanda partner, we have sent children for heart surgery that they cannot get in their own country. We've sent them to Belgium and France. So children who would otherwise have died of congenital heart defects or rheumatic heart disease and such have been able to get surgery and come back home and live normally. There's these two wonderful organizations. They're based in those two countries, France and Belgium, that pay for the surgeries, but they don't pay for the kids to get there. So my
is
organization,
that where you come in,
yeah,
huh?
So we had a three-country collaboration between us and Rwanda and France or Belgium to manage to pay for the kids to get to those countries, have the surgery paid for, and have the kids come home. And there's an organization that has volunteers who will come to the third world country and fetch the child, accompany them to a home where the family volunteers to be the parents for these children, while they are pre-op, while they're in the hospital, while they're the month or two of recovery from heart surgery, and then the same volunteer who fetched them will escort them back home. And it's an amazing experience. They send me pictures, and so I see how much love there is with these foster-type families that are having these children in their home. It's just absolutely amazing. We've also had a couple of little children who were born with club feet have corrections, so that they would never have been able to walk the way their feet were. I mean, they were just so deformed. And at this point, after their surgery, they would never know that they ever had anything wrong with their feet to see that.
Cleft palates too?
No, we haven't done any cleft palates. I haven't seen any. Mm-hmm. They haven't been brought to my attention. We had another girl, a teenage girl in Uganda this past year who was legally blind. I mean, she couldn't see the blackboard. Smart kid, but she couldn't see the blackboard. And she literally had to hold a paper right up to her nose to be able to read it. Friends had to copy things on papers from the board for her. She was severely handicapped visually. And we were able to get her to a good eye clinic that has an additional specialty low vision clinic in Kampala, the capital of Uganda. And her prescription, I mean, many of you, I'm sure, wear glasses. I know mine is like a minus 2 point something. Hers was a minus 9 point something correction. And then she needed magnifiers on top of that to actually read. And when I saw her in November, when I was there last, someone brought her to visit me, and we were sitting outside under this beautiful flowering tree, and an ant dropped onto my arm, and she saw the ant and picked the ant off of my arm. Now, imagine somebody who was legally blind now able to see to pick an ant off your arm. I mean,
never have done that before.
Oh, my God. I mean, just to me, that's a small miracle, but for her, it's a big miracle. But to see something like that, and we couldn't do any of these kinds of things, of course, without donations that come in.
And how do you get the donations, Marilyn?
It's private donations. I mean, people know about my organization, and they make donations. It's a 501c3, so it's tax-deductible donations. Mm-hmm. And then we do fundraiser every year like this. And we've had some other fundraisers from time to time, like there are certain restaurants in town that will have an evening where they'll donate a portion of the proceeds. Habit Burger did that to us.
Right.
Not to us, with us, for us, very generously. Chipotle did that as well. Armando Mejorado had an event at his place when he had the gallery behind the studio here. Mm-hmm. And people attended that and donated. And we actually in Uganda got a small grant from UNICEF this past year to help with our outreach about keeping girls in school. And we're hoping we can get another grant from UNICEF this year.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And mostly it's private donations, though. And, oh, one more thing is Amazon. Amazon has this thing called Amazon Smile, where if you buy things from Amazon, but you go to Amazon Smile, it's the exact same thing you always do. They take Amazon Prime. It's exactly the same, only you can designate a charity, and Amazon donates a whole .5% of, you know, but it's something that comes in quarterly. It's something that you wouldn't have otherwise. And it's amazing how much people buy off of Amazon.
Indeed.
I mean, it keeps getting bigger. So we get donations quarterly from Amazon Smile, from people choosing One Future at a Time to support through Amazon Smile. Mm-hmm. PayPal also has a giving fund, and we have some small amount of income that comes in through people paying something through PayPal, and it comes, you know, a percentage comes into us as well as a chosen charity. Some employers, bigger companies, have employee matching funds. So if an employee makes a donation, the company will match the donation up to a certain amount. So one of my young men is finishing his medical studies. He's from Rwanda, and he went to medical school in China and is doing his last year as an intern in Senegal. And he has a family that has sponsored him. And the employer of the husband and wife has done a matching program, so he's getting to be a doctor that he wouldn't be able to have done that otherwise.
And there's probably a lack of physicians there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, that's why we had to send kids out of the country to have heart surgery in Rwanda, because there aren't enough doctors in the specialty areas, and the hospitals don't have the capability to do such a complicated surgery as well.
So they have to go out.
Yeah. they do at this point.
I'm just curious, where do you stay when you're in, like, South Africa, Rwanda, Uganda? Where do you stay? How does that work?
Okay. All right. In South Africa, I used to stay where I would volunteer. I started out in an organization with that first partner in Johannesburg, and they were located in a renovated old nursing home, so they had rooms for volunteers. Mm-hmm. I stayed there. Then I ended up getting recruited to a hospice program in a township outside of Johannesburg, closer to Pretoria, and that was located in an old house. And in South Africa, when you have an old house that's been condemned and nobody can live in it, they let it go to a nonprofit.
Oh, fantastic. So, I need to do that here.
Hey, yeah. So I was living, I had a room. It was a two-story house. It was like an old farmhouse or something, and I had a room up there. You know, it was different. Not all the comforts of home, of course, but it was comfortable enough. And then when I stopped working with that organization because of various changes they underwent, I started staying in a guest house right outside the township. I mean, like across the road from the township. And it cost me about $20 a night, including a huge all-you-can-eat breakfast. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I stay there when I'm in South Africa. In Rwanda, my partners have a house that's designated for volunteers, and that's in a village, a very remote rural village.
What's it like to get there? Is it difficult to get there?
Well, in South Africa, I rent a car, and so when I arrive at the airport, I pick up the car rental and get myself to where I'm mm-hmm. needing to go. In Rwanda, my colleagues have to pick me up at the airport, and it's about an hour and a half drive, two-hour drive to the village from the airport. And so, I mean, we talk about the places that I go. It's like go to the middle of nowhere, turn right, and go another 30 miles. It's really, really, really remote.
Not probably well marked?
No.
I wondered about that.
Okay. In Uganda, my significant other and I live together in Uganda, so we have a place there. And it's in the capital city of Kampala. And
that's a good sized city, isn't it?
Yeah, it's big, but the traffic is insane. The driving is like demolition derby, and so everything takes forever to drive around. I mean, you can't get anywhere without traffic. Some place that would take you 10 minutes could take you an hour.
Wow.
Because of totally jammed traffic and no traffic signals. And,
wow.
You know, it's
crazy.
That's chaotic. Driving. I won't drive in the city. I mean, I'm fine driving on the opposite side. I've done that in South Africa forever, but I will not drive in Kampala. It's really scary.
It's that bad.
I would just be at an intersection still from last week if I had to do that. I don't know how people ever learn how to drive there.
So that's how you do it.
Yeah. So anyway, basically, Uganda is another home to me. South Africa is another home to me. Rwanda is more like a place to visit. That's my crazy life.
Yeah, indeed. You're here, what, 3 months at a time?
Yeah, basically I'm here summer and winter, and I'm in Africa spring and fall. Mm. And I've been doing that since 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite a life.
Yeah.
Okay, let's listen to some more music here, and I've got Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow. Now, you were saying that you have a mix of music. What can you say about that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't want people to think, because we started out with If I Had a Hammer, that we're all just doing old folk music. We have rock, we have pop, we have country, we have some Irish music in here for this one, because it's right before St. Patrick's Day. So we like to mix it up, and this way, there's something for everybody.
Yep. That's good
stuff. Did I say country also? Yeah, we have some country music in there. We have everything.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Good deal. Well, we're going to listen to one of the old pop songs from way back, a doo-wop kind of song, really, but it was written by Carole King.
Yeah, yeah. She wrote a lot of songs kind of at a production style. I mean, you know, she's commissioned to write songs, and then other groups made them famous. So Will You Love Me Tomorrow, she does a beautiful version of her own song, but then the Shirelles made it popular.
So. Yeah, and that's the version we've got right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, we're doing the Shirelles version.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little more upbeat.
Yep. Okay, here we go.
Tonight you're mine completely. You give your love so sweetly. Tonight
Marilyn, I know that you're from originally from New York.
Right.
But I've wondered how it was that you came to be a part of the North State.
Well, I've been here since 1977, so I've been here more than I've been anyplace else in my life. But I was born in Brooklyn and went all the way through university in New York, but upstate New York, and Buffalo was where I went to university. And then did not want to have more snow in my life.
Oh, you're a person after my own heart. I mean, I can visit snow all the time. That's great to visit, but to live in it, no.
Right.
No.
I think the best place for snow is photographs, beautiful photographs of snow. So my then husband and I moved to Tucson, and people said, you're going to get tired of not having the seasons change. And I said, try me. I was never tired of having a sunny day. And then we ended up moving to Redding because of work opportunities for both of us. So I've stayed.
And so the work opportunity in your case was Mercy.
That came second.
Oh, what was first?
I first started working where many people in social service counseling type work started working back in the 70s, and that was at the YMCA Youth and Family Counseling Center, otherwise known as the Crisis Center, on Court and Tehama Street. And I still have friends from, that I met from way, way back then. So that's what got me started here. And then I did some freelancing in-service type things at Mercy and was offered the opportunity to help get the hospice going. And nobody knew anything about hospice at the time, and I thought, so that sounds intriguing. And then the rest was history, as they say.
And you obviously had a heart for it because you stayed with it for such a long time.
Oh, it was wonderful work. But my position was so interesting because I got to do everything except stick sharp objects into people. I'm not a nurse, and so I didn't do the nursing part of it, but I got to do pretty much everything else at one point or another, and that was what kept me, because it was never just doing the same thing every day. Excuse me, I ended up in management. My education background is in counseling, so I had my clinical expertise that I developed was in the area of bereavement, so I was able to keep a hand in clinical stuff as well as doing management. I don't like the idea of just doing management, but you don't do what you're managing anymore.
Mm-hmm, right.
People get out of touch with what it is they're managing, so I always like to keep my hand in that.
And you were able to do that.
Yeah, I was.
Now, what is your education?
It's a master's degree in counseling.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Back from University of Buffalo back in the day.
Uh-huh.
So, but the thing is, you can get a degree in anything, and that opens a door for you, but that's all it does. You have to keep the door open by your own abilities and your own skills and what you develop and what you learn. I mean, you learn so much on the job. That's really where you learn, not in school necessarily.
It just gives you the opening.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Now I want to go on to Elvis Presley, Can't Help Falling in Love.
Yeah.
And, it's clear to me that you have fallen in love with helping people and all that sort of thing, and it, that's so important, and can't help falling in love with all of these these people that you've helped, kind of, and it's going to be, a lot of times it's lifelong.
Oh, it is. I have, and it's not just the idea of helping people, it's helping people to help themselves. Mm-hmm. Giving them the strength and the skills to help themselves is more where it's at. It's just, you develop relationships. Like I think I've lost count how many kids I have in Africa. I think it's up to about 18 now, or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
They call me mom. And I mean, some of them are teenagers and some are young adults. But I've got these awesome four boys that are teenagers that have been with me since they're like 6 to 11, and now they're 14 to 19. They're just wonderful.
It's kind of priceless, priceless in a way.
Oh, gosh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
That's what keeps me coming back. Cause it's not, people say, you really must love Africa. I can't say that I love Africa. I love the people that I have connected with there, and that I am, so totally connected with at this point. They're like family to me.
All right. Can't help falling in love.
Wise men say only fools run.
take my whole life to, for
that song is the kind of thing that people want to sing along with.
Yes, and at the sing-along, you're welcome to get up and dance to it also.
Oh.
The sweetie
this,
with you and you want to get up and dance.
This would be a nice slow dance.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that my wife will honor that.
And, she can't say no to you
I
or
hope
something
not.
Like that.
Okay. That's a great song. It just makes you want to, hold your sweetie.
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking about you must have a lot of frequent flyer miles. Am I right?
Yeah, I do. I could get a free trip a year, but you want to keep accumulating them because when you fly on the frequent flyer miles, you don't accumulate them. So it's more like about every other year that I'll use them for a trip.
Do you use them to go to some kind of a getaway to where you kind of regenerate yourself? Or what do you do?
Being sort of retired, I don't count this as work because I love what I'm doing. So to me, getting regenerated is playing music.
Okay.
I don't have to go someplace to regenerate. I get to play music to regenerate.
So you do that when you're in Africa too?
Yeah, I have a travel guitar that I leave at my house, loosely speaking, my home there. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to schlep a guitar back and forth. So, this is kind of funny actually because my honey and our best friend wanted me to teach them guitar. What song is very popular there? You'd never believe this. Is Jolene by Dolly Parton.
Well,
how they know Jolene by Dolly Parton?
That's interesting because the very first song I heard you do was Jolene.
Oh, at a music group. Yeah.
At music group, yeah. And I've never forgotten that.
Huh.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So that woman is world famous.
I associate that song with you, not with Dolly Parton anymore.
No.
I associate it with Marilyn Droggett.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to play next Ticket to Ride by the Beatles.
Yeah.
And you ride and you ride and you ride and you use those tickets.
And it's kind of cool that we have a mix of British Invasion songs. 2 years ago, we did the whole sing-along was 60s music, so we had one set British Invasion and the second set was American songs. So interesting about the Beatles songs is you might think they're simple. They are not. Even the ones like She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. I mean, you would think that's not much to it. Try singing it. It's hard to keep in tune on that. It's not easy to play. They had very complex songs that they wrote.
They sure did.
Yeah, and they made it seem not complex, but they are.
And they got more complex as they went along, too.
Well, that's true, too.
They were amazing.
But I like the earlier music better. But the earlier stuff was still difficult. Their vocal range was tremendous, really. And their composing skills were, even if you didn't like the song, you have to appreciate the skill that went into putting it together.
Because
I can't say I liked every single Beatles song. But
I think I like most all of them. It's interesting. My daughter, she doesn't necessarily like all the music that I like, but she's always liked the Beatles and has a great collection of the Beatles music.
Yeah.
And I've met other older people like myself, and that's been true with their children as well.
My son went to UC Santa Cruz, and took a course, a university course on the music of the Beatles. So wow. I said, maybe you can get extra credit if you bring the poster from the Sgt. Pepper's album, which I gave him to take. I don't remember if he got extra credit or not, but
we had fun sharing it anyway.
It was cool.
All right, Ticket to Ride. That Ringo's a pretty good drummer.
Yes, he is.
I like to ask a question of what is the first song and performer that grabbed you initially when you were starting listening to music? What comes to mind that really said, oh, man, I just love this?
Oh, my God. That's going to date me.
No, that's okay.
My first. Oh, it's okay. I'm glad to be around.
Right.
The first 78 record.
Oh, really?
That I had.
You had a 78 record?
How much is that doggy in the window?
Arf, arf!
No, the one with the waggly tail.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was a little kid, so of course I had no clue about getting into music back then. I mean, like I was like 4 years old or something. Then my first 45, no, I'm sorry, back to 78s, I had Hound Dog and Don't Be Cruel on side A, side B.
Oh, not on a 78.
Was it a 45?
It would have to be a 45.
Sure?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was on a 78.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, well, you probably know better, but I remember that was an early one.
Yes.
And interestingly, I never developed into an Elvis fan particularly, but I remember having that record.
That's interesting. I wanted to interject on that. I had a 45 of that, and it was in good shape, and I found out it's worth a lot of money, a Hound Dog. Got a picture of Elvis on there in black and white, you know, and he's swiveling his hips. Well, lo and behold, when I moved out of the house from my mom, I left some of my records there, and I was looking to come back and get them. Well, doggone it, she gave all those records away, including Hound Dog, and I always regretted that one because I found out how much it was worth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, people are collecting vinyl. So what got me into first deciding I wanted to learn how to play the guitar and sing, I would have to say, was Peter, Paul, and Mary when I was in college.
That was my first album, was Peter, Paul, and Mary, that first album.
Yeah.
That had the kind of the heart on the brick wall.
Okay, I can't say I remember the album cover, but I remember that was my first. And so my parents got me a guitar from Green Stamps.
Oh, yes.
It was the most horrible guitar. I mean, it was just played horribly, but that's how I taught myself to play on that thing. I don't know whatever happened to it. I certainly didn't sell it. I don't know what happened to it. I think my stepmother gave away a lot of my things at yard sales or something. I don't know. She got rid of it. So then I didn't play for a long time because I didn't have a guitar. So it was not until I moved to Reading, again, in the late 70s, and I bought my banjo and I bought a guitar.
What kind of guitar did you buy?
I got a Takamine. Mm-hmm. It was a nice Takamine. But then...
What kind of banjo did you get, too?
Aida.
Oh, okay. Not familiar with that.
It was a... I still have the same banjo. But I sold the guitar... In 2000 or 2001, I took a program with one of my coworkers from hospice for certification in playing therapeutic music as a music practitioner. Mm-hmm. And I wanted something more resonant. The Takamine is a very bright sounding guitar, and I wanted something more mellow and resonant. I said, I want a Martin. Mm-hmm. So I got the least expensive Martin that they make, because a Martin is a Martin. I don't need abalone inlay. I wanted it to sound good. And then probably a couple of years after that, because I wasn't playing the Takamine, I sold it to a young man who, we got it valued by Bernie Baker, at that time at Bernie's Guitar, and I sold it to him for less than Bernie valued it at, but it was still, you know, $600. And he got it stolen out of his pickup truck 2 weeks after he bought it, and I just felt so bad for the kid. But what can you do?
So much of that.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I have my Martin, and then my little travel guitar is, they don't make them anymore. It's an Ovation. That's one of those ones with the rounded plastic backs.
Back. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's very narrow. You can fit it, the claim to fame is you can fit it in the overhead bin of an airplane rather than giving it to the airlines to heave from one spot to the next.
Yes.
I just won't do that. So it's very, very lightweight, but it sounds sort of like a glorified ukulele. It's not. It's a full-size fretboard, and it's quiet. So, like, if you were in a hotel, nobody would be disturbed in the next room, for example, or even in the same room. Probably it's that quiet. So I just left it in Uganda at my home there. I don't have to carry a guitar around.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I think that we can fit in a few more songs. Sloop John B., how's that? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a fun one. We are sort of doing the Beach Boys version of it. And when everybody comes to the sing-along, we expect to hear good harmonies on that one. It's a fun harmony song.
You know, I've noticed it. We have a lot of good singers. Doesn't have to be good singers, but you got enough good singers in there that it really sounds great.
Oh, yeah. So. And so many people say, well, I can't sing.
You hear that a lot.
And we say it doesn't matter because you're going to get drowned out by 100 people. And it's just fun if you like to sing along with the radio. You know, nobody's going to judge anybody for how they sing. I mean, does Bob Dylan sound good?
That's right.
It's taking that crazy voice all the way to the bank. I mean,
yeah, that's for sure.
You don't have to. It's not a choir. It's not like everybody is a great singer. I mean, even amongst us, we're not. You know, except for Marilyn Payton.
Except for Marilyn, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're all passable singers, but nobody has to worry about what they sound like. You just come and have fun. And if you want to lip sync, just lip sync. If you want to listen, just listen. But you probably end up wanting to sing.
I think so. And it's all for a good cause.
That's the bottom line there.
Yeah. All right. Really. We're going to Sloop John B.
Okay.
We come on this Sloop John B. My grandfather and me around Nassau town we did roam, drinking all night, got into a fight. Well, I feel so broken, I wanna go home. So hoist up the John B. sail. See how the
Okay, what did you want to say about the Beach Boys?
Oh, yeah. We also have another Beach Boys song that we'll be doing, In My Room.
Oh, yes.
And in listening many times to these songs, we've discovered the Beach Boys, particularly Brian Wilson, was technically an excellent musician. The rhythm doesn't vary. I mean, just for giggles, I tried tracking with a metronome so we could say, you know, this is about the speed that we want to do this song, trying not playing it through our song, but just to see what the recording was. And most of the songs, the metronome and the singers, the recording artists, were not in sync, mm-hmm. except for the Beach Boys mm-hmm. and Linda Ronstadt. We'll also be doing a Linda Ronstadt song. So very, you know, few of the artists were technically as precise as the Beach Boys were.
Okay.
It's interesting to discover that.
Okay. Yes, now I want to say that you're listening to The Eclectic Hour on KKRN, 88.5 FM Community Radio with your host, Craig Boyer. And we've got Marilyn Troggett in studio. We have our studio in Reading as well as the one in Round Mountain. And the community support of our listeners is what keeps these programs on air. If you've not already done so, please consider joining our KKRN family by sending a donation of support to Pencil and Paper Ready, KKRN, P.O. Box 188, Montgomery Creek, California, 96065. Mm-hmm. Or you can find the donate button at our safe and secure website at kkrn.org. And we thank you. Now we're going to go one last song, but before we do that, I want Marilyn to remind us of what's coming up with One Future at a Time concert.
Okay, March 14th, 7 p.m. at Pilgrim Congregational Church. You can get the tickets at the door or at the Music Connection on Bocelli.
Okay, and we're going to go out with Happy Together.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me, ease my mind. Imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. Dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. The dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. So happy together. And how is the weather? So happy.